Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Hello again, great to have your company for the Small Caps Podcast. I'm Peter Capsanis. Well, when you think of Alaska, what springs to your mind? For me, it's snow, white, endless snow. But for a couple of Australian resource companies, Alaska has literally laid the ground for the yellow brick road. And by yellow, I mean golden. That's right, Alaska is among the best prospective mining regions across the globe. And surprisingly, it remains relatively untapped. Resolution Minerals is one of those ASX-listed Australian resource companies which has been carrying out exploration in Alaska in recent months. To tell me more, I'm joined by the company's Managing Director, Duncan Chessel. Duncan, good to have you on the show.
Thanks very much, Peter. Great to be here. Look forward to having a chat about Alaska.
As I am indeed. Now, Duncan, can we start from the beginning? Resolution Minerals was born out of a previous company and listed in 2017. Where does Resolution currently hold its exploration prospects at the moment, right across the board?
Yeah, so our flagship project is in Alaska, the gold project, surrounding the world-class high-grade Pogo gold mine owned by Northern Star, where we have a dominant land position around that, and we're undertaking significant exploration and drilling activities at the moment. We also have we were previously known as Northern Cobalt. We got into the battery metal space in Australia, did a lot of exploration on the Woolagrang project and defined a modest cobalt deposit there. That got to scoping study, but the cobalt price came back a fair way, and we have put that one on review at this time. So that's still prospective for copper cobalt. And we also have another gold project in southern Alaska down near Juneau.
Near the capital there?
Yeah, down near Juneau in the Juneau Gold Belt, which is also fairly well endowed with about 12 million ounces of gold. That project at the moment we're just seeking a funding partner for, because we're really just absolutely all in focused on the 64 North project. We've just got absolutely cracker targets, drilling those, and you know, we just don't want to put any other efforts into anything but this, because this is our flagship project and the most prospective chunk of the planet that we've got, and it's a really exciting place to be.
All right, well, let's dive deeper about the 64 North project in Alaska. What's special about this prospect, Duncan? And I understand this is somewhat of a joint venture with a Canadian company.
That's right. So Millrock Resources is a project generator. It's listed on the TSXV, MRO. Their business model is to sort of look around North America, find a patch of ground that they think is prospective, and then do a deal to kind of secure it or acquire it, you know, through application, and then find an alternative partner to come in to fund it. And that's what we're doing. They really struggled to find anyone to come into any of their projects over the last few years, and largely because the North American market until recently was very, very quiet. A lot of the TSXV companies were all very much engaged in cryptocurrency and cannabis, and there wasn't really a lot of investor money available to Millrock to take this project forward, and the gold price wasn't as high as it was. So around about a year ago, or a little bit under a year ago, we, Northern Cobalt, said, so I guess we had decided that we needed to take a change of direction from Cobalt, and we were looking around for a new project. We, you know, as an analyst in Sydney, Ryan Armstrong, who works for Taylor Collison, and he'd been following the Northern Star story into North America, and Northern Star being, you know, a sort of $8 or $9 billion dollar market cap Australian producer, followed their journey into Alaska and said, well, what's all this ground around here? Got in contact with Millrock Resources, who had some of the ground, and Millrock Resources just managed to pick up a lot of the very prospective ground all the way around that mine, just as Northern Star sort of purchased it in 2018. So all this, it's always often a bit, it's a story about timing. North American markets weren't really, firing on exploration. Gold price wasn't as high as it was. Millrock moved in, got a dominant land position, couldn't find a funding partner in North America, reached out to Australia. We just happened to be looking for a new project and said, I went up there. We're walking along the claim boundary or the tenement boundary, and there was Northern Star doing this drill out on the good pass to Discovery. So they had rigs within 450 metres of the claim boundary with a world-class high-grade operating gold mine in the background with 10 million ounces in it. And there's no holes along this huge chunk of terrain. And same rocks, same host rocks as the Pogo gold mine, alteration systems, geochemistry, all saying, this can be the same as that. So we just grabbed it with both hands and jumped at it, and here we are. But I guess the where we are in comparison to other significant resources, gold resources, is in that Tintina gold province, which is a 2,000-kilometre wide from east to west stretch of Alaska and the Yukon in Canada that hosts some absolutely massive gold deposits like Donlin Creek at 39 million ounces, Live and Good and Fort Knox at 12 and 11, Pogo, which we're at position around at 10, then we go into the Yukon, into Canada. And this sort of very prospective patch of ground then hosts numerous deposits in the Yukon as well, in the same terrain, Dublin, Eagle, 4.5 million, Coffee, 2-3 million ounces, White Gold, et cetera, et cetera. It just goes on and on. But it's fairly underexplored though, Alaska. It's only about 6% of the country is covered by modern geophysics. There's still, enormous deposits to be discovered just sticking out of the ground. Haven't been recognised, or it's inaccessible terrain. And there are just some of the challenges are that winter, it gets pretty cold up there, up around Fairbanks. You're a long way north, 64 north, 64 degrees north is how we name the project. So unless you've got a road like we've got going to the Pogo gold mine, it's actually difficult to get to any of these places. So that was one of the advantages we saw of this project, was because there's a high-grade operating gold mine right in the middle of our project area, there's an all-weather, all-year-round road that's being maintained by Northern Star, which we can piggyback off to do our exploration from. And that helps reduce the costs and also expand the season from typically many projects in Alaska might be only a four-month summer season, whereas we can push all the way out into, probably January, February is a little bit cold, and it's you can do that. We started drilling in March this year, like late winter, but we're able to sort of use those shoulder seasons as well and expand our season to sort of that 9 or 10 month period.
A fascinating story indeed, and you've mentioned Northern Star, your neighbours there, which we'll touch on a little later. But in terms of drilling in and around 64 North, you've extended a few of the holes deeper than planned in recent months. Why is that? You've talked about the richness of the terrain and so forth, but is there something in the rocks?
Well, yeah, I guess we've drilled four holes so far. We had a bit of an interruption at the start of the year. You can imagine with the whole COVID pandemic thing sort of had a bit of a shutdown. And things have been progressing in the field now quite well through the summer. So we've got four holes done, some of them are quite deep, 600 metres, one of them down to 1090, others that are around a lot of other targets are around the 200 to 350 metres, and they're diamond drill holes. So there's a whole series of other holes we're doing which are a lot shallower. So the number of holes will tick through a bit quicker coming up. But what we saw was we're chasing a conductivity response from our geophysics. So we're seeing there's a lot of information around the mineralisation on the Pogo mine itself. And that is sort of flashish lying gold-bearing quartz veins. And so what we're targeting is is that same type of system, the pogo style, flat lying quart zones. And if you can get down and get onto one of those they then repeat. So there'll be stacks of them, one on top of the other, you know, separated by maybe, 20 or 50 meters. And what you want to be able to do is drill a hole almost straight down rather than an angled hole and just punch through a whole series of these sheets of mineralized quartz veins. And that's what we're endeavoring to do. We've got the first two holes. We hit, not great grade, unfortunately, just over a gram, 1 gram per ton. We did prove that we're in the right rocks, the right host rock. We had the gold, the tellurium, the bismuth, the arsenic, all the right geochemical response to give us the minerals in the logging to say, okay, you're very, very close to a system here. But keep drilling. Any time now, you're going to be onto it. So we've just been steadily working up our drill targets using combination of geophysics and then some pretty significant holes. There's some diamond holes there. And we've got two more, the last two holes, holes 3 and 4, just completed around about a week ago. They're heading off into the labs for assay results. So we should be seeing those at the end of August, the assay results from that. And that'll be, that'll be a pretty exciting time. Let's see what they come back as. The geologist out on site saw that the sulfides, the sulfide minerals were increasing, and they were very encouraged with what they saw in the rock. So they pushed the hole an extra 150 odd metres, and we were in a very conductive unit, which is where the alteration is has affected the rocks to make it, instead of being quite resistive, it's actually turned into being quite a conductive rock, so a little sericite and dolomite alteration. So that's the same alteration halo you see over the Pogo gold mine. And we have a guy who used to work on the Pogo gold mine, was the exploration geologist for the previous owner, Sumitomo, and then Northern Star. And then he's actually consulting with us at the moment on our drill targeting. So he's been very helpful. Obviously time will tell with whether he's right or not. And we're chasing
it's a very family
high grade gold.
It's a very family affair, you and your neighbours there, Duncan.
Well, I guess it's just what's sometimes everybody knows everybody in the industry. But look, the really good news we had only a few days ago was at the Northern Stars quarterly meeting. They just discussed that in addition to the in-mine expansion program, they're making a significant investment into the first stage of resource definition drilling into the core of the Good Pasture area, where the initial exploration drilling outlined a 2.5 kilometre mineralised corridor. So the Good Pasture discovery, which is the one that I saw with the rigs all over it when I went up there last year, and went, right, this looks pretty good. They've just come out, their chief geologist came out and said, okay, we're going to invest in drilling a resource out on that. So that's very encouraging for us, because it's on there's a big fault system where the river goes between the Good Pasture and the Pogo mine, and it just proves that there is a very good potential or prospectivity on the other side of this big fault system. And Northern Star are about to do a resource drill out of that. Their discovery hole on that was 4 metres at 60 grams, or a bit over 60 grams, so 2 ounces. And that's really good, very good dirt in anyone's language. When you're drilling that sort of grade and that sort of thickness, 4 metres of 2 ounce dirt, you only have to, like a 300 metre by 300 metres by 400 metres, 4 metres thick at 2 ounces is actually 2 million ounces of gold. So you don't need a lot of that dirt to find resources very quickly. So that's what we're chasing, some really big opportunities very close to the Pogo mine. But also the area that we've got is a huge land package, 660 square kilometres. We've got 30 prospects that we've identified across the package. We've gone through a very extensive desktop review of all the historic 40,000 surface samples, 11,434 metres of old drill core from various explorers through time. and ranked all of these prospects into sort of a, what's the best ones to drill target and just go drill now, and what needs a little bit more work to kind of figure out if you want to drill them. And then we've also put some back into the bottom of the basket as a bit of back burner as well. So we've gone through that process over the last probably 6 months. It's been quite a journey to get that completed.
You said that you're waiting on a couple of more drill results, probably around the end of August. Will you carry out more drilling, irrespective of what those results come back with?
Yes, we're actually kicking a drill program into gear on the Echo target, so just slightly north of where we were drilling on the Aurora prospect, along strike and down dip from the Pogo Gold Mine and Good Pastures discovery. So we've got some other very compelling drill targets that we're shifting a helicopter rig onto. So it's the middle of summer, so now is the time to do any of those heli-based programs. And then as the season starts to sort of wane, we can come back and use our roads that we've built into the Aurora prospect, and we can use a land-based rig or track-mounted rig from that. And then it's not so critical if we get poor weather or the daylight starts to go, as in the northern latitudes, the number of daylight hours drops off pretty quickly as you head towards winter. So less flying time, not so useful for helicopter. So we're making use of the summer season to put some drill holes down in some other places, which are very similar to the Aurora prospect, Echo prospect. And we'll just see how that goes. But that's what we're about, is just moving through, testing the best drill targets, but with that overlay of the logistical complexity that Alaska, being a frontier area, throws at you. I mean, if you want to get in there and drill through spring and autumn or winter, then you've got to build a road, and building a road is a bulldozer for weeks or a month or so to construct a road and around the sides of hills, and that a lot of that work's already been done though. So we're well placed. We've spent quite a bit of money getting established logistically into the Aurora prospect, so we can continue to drill that all the way through winter if we choose to now.
Talk to me more about, I'm just curious, you mentioned about the helicopter and to aid your drilling program. It's something I haven't heard about too often. What's involved with that?
Yeah, so we've got the Echo prospects. It's actually not very far from our road, but it's far enough that it's over a couple of big ridge lines that it would take a lot of time and effort to build a road out to that. So it's quite mountainous, I guess, is the easiest way to think of it. So what happens is you bring in a decent sized helicopter, like a B3. You maybe take the rig into, if you get a smallish diamond rig and a big enough helicopter, you can pick it up in one piece and fly it onto the drill pad. But prior to that, you'll have flown out your crew using a little helicopter. They'll go out there, cut down any shrubs and trees. They'll construct a pad, a wooden platform that you then helicopter on the drilling rig onto that, and away you go from there. So you then have the crew with a light helicopter. You might have to each day take fuel up and bring the drill core back down, backload that back down, and do crew changes with a helicopter from a camp that might be, a few kilometres away or 5 or 10, 20 miles away, sort of thing. Depends on where you are in the situation. Other times you'll actually establish a camp around the rig itself and set up there and have that supported by a helicopter for, the season if you've got an extensive drill program. But what we're doing at the moment is testing a number of the prime targets from off the geophysics surveys, and we'll look to move the rig, after each hole. So we're doing tests of different blocks of ground that we think are prospective to test if there's gold mineralisation. And then we won't get the assays, it usually takes a month after you finish the hole to get the assays. So in the meantime, the rig moves on to the next block of ground that we think is prospective. And then by the time we do that a few times, we start to get the results from the first hole, and then that might drive our holes number 3, 4, and 5, etc. If that makes sense.
Absolutely. I appreciate you going to some forensic detail in painting the picture, because I'm sure anyone who's listening right now will appreciate the complexity associated with exploring and mining, particularly in a frontier, as you call it, in a terrain such as Alaska. You've gone through a big cap raise recently. What was the target, and why did you do it now, Duncan?
Yeah, we wanted to accelerate the program now, because we initially raised $4.5 million earlier in the year. Now the earning commitment per annum is $5 million US. So obviously $4.5 million is not $5 million US. So therefore, we were always going to need to raise to finish off our program this year. And as it was midsummer and we were just finishing our program and another month for results to come out, we would have liked to have waited for results, and then potentially we're raising at a much better price. But we also, just the momentum of the season demanded that, we just keep the crews on. The camp's there, the guys are there in the field ready to go. It's the right time of year to do it. So sometimes, I guess, the logistics of the season, dictates that you just need to get after it. And, so the first couple, we raised the money to do the first couple of phases of the drill program, the two first programs, and that's what we did with that money. And we also worked up quite a few geophysical targets, so that did a lot of the groundwork and logistics to enable us to now just go out and start spending money just on drilling now. So that's what we're about doing. We also have part of in the first year of the agreement with our earning partner, venture partner, it was determined that we needed to spend a certain amount of money sort of more regionally, or not on this Aurora Echo area. And what our top review over the last sort of 5-6 months is, we worked out where the best place to go and work up some targets outside of that area that are as close to drill ready already. So E1 prospect to the south is something that we're hoping to be drilling on before the end of the year, and also the boundary prospect, which also is a long strike on the eastern side of the Pogo Gold Mine. We're at the moment, we're on the western side, we're the west Pogo block. The east Pogo block is where we're going to go out and got some geophysics, doing some bit of finishing off some work on that now. And then that should be, we believe that's going to be quite a compelling drill target. There's a little bit of historic drilling there. And again, the really interesting story about the Pogo Gold Mine is that the first season, I drilled a lot of angled holes chasing these vertical feeders, thinking, oh, that could be the mineralisation. Does it get thicker at depth? But what they are is the feeders. What you're looking for is the flat-lying, very thick gold-bearing quartz veins. And what they did in the first season is they chased the vertical feeders with shallow angled holes. Second season, they pointed the rig straight down, and they intersected up to 20 metres thick, running an ounce, these quartz veins, so gold bearing quartz veins. So that's, so on the east side, at the boundary prospect, is about a half a dozen, 4 or 5 old drill holes there. They did hit up to 35 grams per tonne in one of the holes, a narrow intersection. But I think doing some geophysics on it, if they pointed the rigs more straight down, they might have got onto a pogo system up there. So very encouraged that we can, look to maybe get some holes into that on a different orientation and chasing that pogo style. So we're doing a little bit of work outside the immediate West Pogo, but, it's just such a rare opportunity to have, there's like 4 prospects that are all drill ready or should be drill tested, any one of which it can be a really significant resource. So fallen in our laps in some ways, this project. But when these opportunities present, you've got to go for it. So that's why we've raised the money now. We've got a SPP, which is open, seeking additional $1 million from our current investors. And we're seeing incredibly high demand
When does that close, Duncan, the SPP?
That's got another 2 weeks to run.
Right.
So it was, I think we put it out for 3 weeks. As I said, we're seeing incredibly high demand for that. So, feeling confident that we'll get there. And that'll give us a news flow or capacity to continue some field work, drilling, lots of activities in the field, and news flow all the way through the year till Christmas and beyond. So you're going to see quite a good news flow as an investor and a lot of information coming to the market.
I've got to ask you, I'm sure everyone's been thinking about it. You certainly have been upbeat and buoyant about the prospects, but is there some kind of timeline in terms of mining activity in the near future? Or is it too early to speculate?
Too early to speculate. I mean, we're very close to an operating gold mine. So any significant hit where we are would, be... a significant event for the company, until we get onto something and then start to do a resource drill out and that sort of thing, it's pretty hard to really speculate on a timeline on that. But I think we're in a really good place, location wise, very low sovereign risk. It's number four in the Fraser Institute of best places to do mineral exploration and mining activities in the world. So you know that you're not going to get sort of a Tanzanian issue where the government goes and just grabs your mine off you. So it's a good jurisdiction to invest in from a sovereign risk point of view. Very prospective, demonstrated gold mining activities nearby. So you know the social licensing and green licensing is all tick tick tick. I'd love to one day see something come out of the ground and in the gold room and pouring metal bars, but that's probably a fair way off. But we love to dream. That's what we're there for.
Absolutely.
I'm very encouraged by the prospectivity of the block of ground that we've got, and just that there's multiple prospects, any one of which can be the next pogo.
Well, we'll certainly look with interest and we'll keep a close eye on incoming and forthcoming developments, and we'll be certainly keen to see what the results come the end of August. Duncan, appreciate your time. Thank you for a really comprehensive and forensic insight into Resolution and to the story. It's another exciting Australian resource story, and as you said, there are many of them all around the globe. So we look forward with keen interest into what the future holds for Resolution.
Thanks very much for your time, Peter. Enjoyed the discussion today, and stay tuned for drilling results.